This is Jeff Drake from the Joneses, and you're listening to the Pantheon Podcast Network.
History in five songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Martin Popoff here. Welcome back again to another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding cabal of music podcasters. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Simplecast, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, so here we are. This is an episode I've been threatening for a while, and I've had some people asking for this ever since I mentioned it the odd time. The brief is Snow Globe Bands, episode 178, Snow Globe Bands. So what are we talking about here? This does not relate very much. Well, it relates a little bit, and I'll get to that a little later. I did an episode called Bands of Individuals, and then I also did a episode even more recent than that on No Category Bands, and it doesn't really relate to that either. But basically, No Category Bands actually, most of these are actually No Category Bands, but just because you are a unique band, you aren't a Snow Globe Band. So what am I talking about here? So the idea here is, and here's a funny thing about this. So I asked a couple buddies for any examples, and I didn't really get much traction. So the last comment I made is that, wow, after having all these examples that I don't agree on, it's like the narrative of this episode is nobody knows what I'm talking about, perhaps, when I do this. But I figured I'm going to plow ahead anyways, because these five examples, I think, are perfect examples of this. And I must say that Tim Durling, thank you, Tim, he did remind me of one that I was always planning to include, but it completely slipped my mind. So there's actually, I've got six really good examples of this, and then a few wobbly ones that I'll mention at the end. But of course, we're only going to showcase five of them. So the idea here is these are bands that create a complete ecosystem of their own, a biodome too, a world. You can almost imagine these bands. So the main idea with this, and the main thing I think that is useful to have a discussion about it for, is the idea that if you listen to these bands intently and read their lyrics and got in their music and just soaked all this in and watched some live videos and got into the aesthetic, whether that's the album covers or the fashion sense or the grooming sense or whatever, and just immersed yourselves in these bands. These are the type of bands that if you're not crazy about your personality, or you want to change your personality, or you want to just make some changes in yourself, get a new you. These are bands that actually would change your personality. These are bands that have almost like a credo, a philosophy, a self-instruction book to what they do, that if you copped to what they were doing, if you just got into everything they were doing, you would see a chemical imbalance or balance, however you want to look at it, a material change in your personality. So different things about your emotions, your philosophies, your views on whatever, religion, how cranky you are, how happy you are, how violent you are, how sad you are, whatever, all these different things. These bands are actually almost, they almost have like a blueprint to a personality type. So that's kind of the idea. And as I was saying as I went along, you could almost imagine these bands that with their catalogs, they've created a little nation state, a little country of their own. And you can almost see these bands as having their own flag for that reason. So that's kind of the idea. What else did I have in my notes here? It starts with the lyrics. Okay, so the idea with the lyrics with some of these bands is you know, like I say, you could almost create a Bible or a philosophy textbook or a self-help book out of the oeuvre of these bands. So I hope I'm not building them up too much. And when you hear the examples, you're gonna say, "Eh, what's he talking about?" Because that's kind of frankly you know, the sort of result that I got out of having nobody really give me any good examples. But what else do I have here? Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. When I asked and I was getting a little bit of type back on it, people were leaning it a little bit to the fans. And this isn't about the fans per se. This is what these bands do themselves and what the fans do. Like I say, I think the fans who adopt them, the more serious fans that adopt them, it changes their personality. So it's not just being a cult band, although these are kind of cult bands. Let me see here. I would say most of these are definitely cult bands. So it's almost like it's because, okay, for example, Tim Durling mentioned King's X and Rush, for example. And, you know, people talk about those as cult bands in a way. But as I bounced back to him, I said, no, these bands have, you know, in the case of Rush, millions of casual fans. It's not exactly a cult of Rush. Those people are like well-adjusted. They like other bands, blah, blah, blah. It didn't quite feel the same way. And King's X kind of the same way. So I'll mention a few of these later as well. But yeah, again, I went and looked at this past episode, the most recent one, 168, the No Category Bands one. And it's like, oh man, I hope I haven't done this episode already. And I realized, no, I haven't. And the idea there, the point I want to make is that not every unique band, by not fitting in a genre or whatever, is one of these. So there you go. There's kind of the buildup. So let's take a listen to our first one. It's kind of it's the oldest one of all these. This is the Grateful Dead with From the Heart of Me. Take a listen. All right, so the Grateful Dead. So this is from 1978, Shakedown Street. Now, why are these? Why is the Grateful Dead a Biodome band? Well, in a super obvious sense, they do have the Deadhead thing, right? But the Deadhead thing is a pretty remarkable, interesting thing. It is a whole life philosophy. It's a way to dress. It's patchouli oil. It's hey man, you got an extra ticket. It's buying and selling crafts. It's drugs, it's being at the show and the communion of the show. But also, okay, so that's the fan end of it. And that's almost like the proof that they are a snow globe band, because the Grateful Dead did create this Deadhead nation, right? And they are a certain type of people, and their personalities have been shaped by the band, right? But I wanted to play this because, number one, my favorite era of the band is the Donna God Show era, Donna and Keith. I love the Shakedown Street album. But, you know, I wanted to make sure that you heard. So I wanted to make sure you got the male and female duality in there, too, because that's kind of important, too. Because when I think of a Deadhead, right off the bat, I think of a hippie chick rather than a guy, actually. But, of course, the band is, you know, most of the time they were just guys, right? But again, so why the Dead? So the Dead also have their very unique and distinct sound. They have this strange guitarist who sounds like a alto sax or a clarinet player sometimes. So they have this unique guitarist. They have, you know, maybe the two drummer system thing. They have, you know, very interesting beats. They have jams. You know, all the music, even though it's you know, covered a large space of time. Obviously, we lost Jerry. I think it was 1995. But there's a somewhat of a similarity through the whole thing. But even more so, they have. So let's look at the lyrics. So they have like these couple of, you know, pretty interesting outside lyricists, you know, who are, you know, giving us this sort of very Americana sort of hippie poetry. It's kind of beat at times. But, you know, throughout that, you get the whole hippie experience. There's a little bit of darkness to it. There's a whole philosophy of these different complicated interweaving narratives that go through their lyrics. And again, the idea is it creates a world. So you know, not particularly, you know, a direct philosophy or a Bible. That's a little more abstract, but you actually kind of get, I think, a narrative of certain recurring characters throughout all that as well. And you get the iconography of the skeleton and the roses, right? So you've got all that going through it as well. The bear. So there's all these different things that build up this package that make them a snow globe band. I forgot to mention why I'm calling this snow globe, of course, but I'm sure you figured it out. But the idea of those little plastic gold globes with water in them and the little snowflakes, and you shake it up, and you know, you get a snowstorm, right? So the idea is in one of those little domes, they're little plastic globes, that is a complete hermetically sealed nation state. It's a little world. It's usually like a little cityscape or a countryscape, you know, with the snow falling down and you know, nothing comes in, nothing comes out. And that's kind of the way I feel about these snow globe bands. So the idea is that, again, this band is a self-contained thing, and if you go in it as a fan, your personality will change, and you know, depending on how heavily you take it, you will become a deadhead, right? Sort of thing. So that's our first one. Take that for what you will. Take a listen to our second selection here. This is No Means No with Rags and Bones. I am married to a cigarette. Okay, so this is the one Tim reminded me of, but they totally fit, and it actually bumped out another one for me when he reminded me of it. But so this is that Victoria band that is considered, you know, in short form, be called the punk rush. They're absolutely super fascinating and interesting. They have retired now, but you know, you've got Rob Wright and John Wright, the two brothers there. Rob Wright is the vocalist and the bassist, and he's got this big sort of Geddy Lee, Chris Squire, Lemmy bass sound. He's very proficient on it. He has to sing at the same time. You know, John Wright is back there on the drums. He's also a really, really good drummer. I was always impressed when I went to see them live how meticulously they sort out their sound. But there's so many things about them that create a world. And the main thing is that their lyrics are really dark and cynical and super poetic and read as a set. You know, I swear, I mean, it just makes an amazing, amazing, very cynical, you know, like a Schopenhauer or Nietzsche. Did I pronounce that right? Schopenhauer. Anyways, Heidegger, who else? I don't know. I've been watching a lot of, you know, I took some philosophy in school, and I've been also watching a lot of these YouTube videos of these short synopsises of all these guys. Dostoevsky, perhaps, you know, Russia famously doesn't have a philosophy. Russian philosophy shows up through these big, huge novels kind of thing. So yeah, they don't have a philosophical tradition. That's a whole nother thing. Don't get me talking about Russian cosmism, but yeah, so definitely, if you could just read No Means No. If the music drives you crazy, and the music is kind of designed to repel you in a way. The music is very geometric, complicated, jagged, punk rush kind of thing. I love this band to death. They're one of my favorite bands. But yeah, so lyrically, you know, you will slowly become, you know, poisoned, but in a good way, over time by reading their lyrics. They're some of the greatest lyrics in the entire rock and roll industry. But the other interesting thing about them, along this sort of repellent, trying to create a cult of absolute non-commerciality, is their strange album covers, which look kind of simple and thrown together and very punky and kind of funny, tossed off, with titles like "Why Do They Call Me Mr. Happy?" "Would We Be Alive?" That's more of a single. But even stuff where you don't know if it's the band or not, like the Mr. Right and Mr. Wrong album. I'm just looking at my my CDs here, one down and two to go. The first one, No Means No Mama, with the sort of Chinese writing, and it's just, and that's a really, really obscure album. And then very, very, you know, punk hardcore looking. Like I said, they're from Victoria, so it looks like a California band album. But the Small Parts, Isolated and Destroyed album, EP, whatever you want to call it. No Means No One. They have one just called One, very simple cover art. They have one called The Worldhood of the World, and then in brackets, As Such. Worldhood of the World is in all caps, and As Such is in all lowercase. So yeah, really, really strange cover art. Amazing, amazing songs. Heavy punk, but also very proggy, gorgeously recorded. My favorite album is the last one they ever made, which is called All Roads Lead to Ausfahrt. Ausfahrt. Incredible album with songs like Heaven is the Dust Beneath My Shoes, Mondo Nihilismo, 2000, The Hawk Killed the Punk, I'm Dreaming and I Can't Wake Up Till I Die, Slugs Are Burning in Her Eyes, Mr. In Between, I See a Mansion in the Sky. Really, really cool stuff, but absolutely, absolutely a snow globe band. If you go into this band, the more seriously you go into it, you will become the personality of Rob Wright and, you know, by extension, John Wright, his brother as well. They've had different guitarists kind of over the years. Andy Kerr, Tom Holliston, Ken Kempner. A drummer at one point there. So yeah, Tom Holliston and Andy Kerr. Buddy of mine is actually coming up with a No Means No book. It looks really, really good. That's going to be out, I think, next year on PM Press. But yeah, absolutely one of my favorite bands in the world. Really, really interesting, complete snow globe band. All right, this episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help, or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at BetterHelp.com/5songs. That's BetterHelp.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, let's move on to our third selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Typo Negative with Burnt Flowers Fallen. All right, this is actually one of my favorite examples. It's one of the first ones I've always thought about with this. You know, I joke even, you talk about them having a nation state. These guys actually had, you know, we lost Pete Steele a while back, so the band is no more. Pete Steele was the leader of the band, of course. You know, big, tall guy, the big booming voice, the whine. But these guys actually had banners on stage with their symbol, which was a circle with a minus sign in, you know, typo negative, right? You know, I joke that they actually dressed like Fidel Castro, right? They had that look of a military junta government. So talk about building your own nation state. So typo negative, absolutely uncategorizable band. So many things about them make them a snow globe band. We could start with them being ambassadors for Brooklyn. We can start, we can move on to the neon green and the green aesthetic of their album covers and the whole merch look and the stage look. The way they have the text coming down the side, filling the corners on their album covers. you know, the look of the band, you know, they're kind of like, you know, big kind of, you know, scowling looking, good looking guys, you know, long black hair, you know, kind of well-dressed, generally speaking, you know, formally dressed. So they have that sort of goth look. Now we can move into the goth thing, how they're an absolutely unique goth entity unto themselves. They fit in goth. But nobody's like them, right? Nothing is like these guys, gothic-wise. You know, you can move into the bizarre buzzing guitar sound that you get with these guys, a sound that, you know, like some other guitarists, I always talk about Steve Howe this way, maybe even Jerry Garcia, but, you know, he comes up with a sound that, you know, this is Kenny Hickey. Here's the other thing about this band. So this band has had a constant lineup since 1989, except for the drummer, Sal Abruscato, I think. Yeah, I think that's how you pronounce it. So he left early on, but after that, Johnny Kelly comes in, and they've had this basically, you know, consistent band right up to the end. But yeah, Kenny's guitar sound is this really buzzing, distorted sound, like our No Means No example, kind of designed to repel. And then you get into the lyrics, and the lyrics create this whole, like, snow globe world of Pete Steele, this dramatic world of Pete and his insecurities and his drugs and his booze and his women and you know, the whole October rust and the whole haunting fallness and death and all this stuff all wrapped up together. So you get, again, their lyrics would make like a story, a narrative, a book, a philosophy, you know, a pile of short aphorisms or, you know, philosophical short chapters or whatever. So perfect snow globe band. And like I say, everything about them, the aesthetic, the black and the green, you know, and they even have, you know, it's a little different on later albums, but on earlier albums, they definitely, as I look at them, it's kind of similar throughout, but they very much like No Means No, they had this thing with complicated song titles, designed to obscure any sense of commercialism. They also have, like, you know, silly little, like, noise things. They have long passages of boredom, long songs. So they do a lot of things that are designed to, you know, I'm even looking at the Life is Killing Me album. So this is way up into 2003. You got Less Than Zero, and then they put in brackets the less than sign zero, Todd's Ships, Gods, and then in brackets Above All Things, .. A Dish Best Served Coldly, in brackets We Were, Electrocute, you know, Drunk in Paris, The Dream is Dead. So, kind of similar to No Means No. There's definitely a sort of, you know, repelling commercialism and not wanting to be part of a club and leave us alone and we're cranky sort of thing. But so many things add up to Typo Negative being absolutely their own sort of snow globe. All right, let's move on to our fourth selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Morrissey with First of the Gang to Die. The pretty petty. Okay, so this is an example. This is from You Are the Quarry, 2004. You have to say that the Morrissey myth starts with the Smiths. You know, the Smiths are somewhat of a snow globe band as well, but Johnny Marr is part of that with that strange, you know, strange but conservative guitar sound, and just this very sort of simple, jangly, often acoustic sort of sound, and then this strange lead singer. I wanted to include this one because this is one where, you know, we talked about cult earlier on. Well, there's definitely a cult of Morrissey. But again, there's a whole philosophy of Morrissey and this whole androgynous, not even androgynous, he's kind of a masculine looking guy. But the whole thing, is he gay? Is he not gay? And you know, or is he just, or is he just abstentious and, you know, doesn't concern himself with women or guys in that way? And he kind of lives this gay, fashion-y life, and all the songs are like about, you know, personal backstabbing and, you know, my friends let me down and I let my friends down and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting personal stuff going on there. And then the music itself, very hard to describe the music. Again, it's very conservative, but then on the same token, nobody really sounds like Morrissey. But yeah, he's got these massively devoted fans. And there's just this whole world created that is only Morrissey world. I mean, it literally sounds like Morrissey rattling around a house by himself, a very, very nicely interiorly designed house. So there's that, and just kind of like a bit of a cranky, surly attitude, definitely a bit of a diva attitude to him as well. We've got this snow globe situation where there's the cult of this guy that there's nobody really like him, right? And I wanted to include this one because some of the other examples I thought of lean down this path of one guy, right? So you know, Devin Townsend, arguably, you know, he's created a world that is this really cool, elaborate nation state of Devin Townsend creativity that you can listen to for dozens and dozens of albums. Mike Patton, you know, I didn't want to say Faith No More fit here, but then I start thinking, you know, Fantomas, Mr. Bungle, you put it all together, there's kind of a snow globe feel to how deeply you want to identify yourself with Mike Patton and the way he is and his creativity and all that. So again, if you love Mike Patton to death and everything he does, that could change your own personality kind of thing. So I thought they fit there as well. And then the other band I wanted to mention, Mick Phelan mentioned this band as well, and I don't really buy it, but he mentioned The Cure. And I want to mention them here because they're kind of adjacent to the Smiths. Not really buying The Cure one as well. They did a lot of different kinds of music through their years. There's a cult of Robert Smith and the whole goth look and all that, but I think the cult is a lot heavier and you know, more committed in one direction with Morrissey than it is with Robert Smith. So yeah, not quite buying that one. But yeah, Morrissey, absolute snow globe band for me. Let's take a listen to our last selection here. This is The Stranglers with Water. People we thought were our enemies finally found our own voice. It's green and there's change. Okay, so this is another one. So I wanted to include this one because I also did include this band in the episode about bands of individuals. So, and I found it kind of an interesting thing that when I looked at the Band of Individuals episode, which I covered The Who, which I almost considered for this. Yes, almost considered for this. King Crimson, definitely an honorable mention. And either Tim or Mick or maybe Derek told me, someone mentioned when I brought this up, Iron Maiden, and I don't buy it with Iron Maiden, but it's funny that I put them in Band of Individuals and, you know, these guys suggest them. So they're, the whole idea with the Band of Individuals thing that I think is interesting here with the snow globe thing is when you have a band of distinct personalities, you know, making, you know, in their lane, making, you know, interesting Dave Greenfield synth sounds, J.J. Burnell with the French thing going and his buzzing bass, you know, Baz Warren, Hugh Cornwell, who am I forgetting here? The drumming, Jet Black. So Stranglers have a very, very unique sound, but it's a unique sound that you can pick out the four different things. So I thought the idea is, okay, we're a snow globe. We're building a little island nation here. You know, what better way to build an island nation is with multiple personalities. Everybody I've mentioned so far, it's more of a band situation, right? So Stranglers, it's kind of neat. You've got your presidente, you know, you've got your various cabinet ministers, and it, so you've got an actual government for this little snow globe nation state with the Stranglers. But again, you've got an aesthetic, you've got this dark, dour, cynical sort of thing going on. And if you lined up all their lyrics, there would be a certain feel, a certain emotional feel, although they are quite various. They go to different places, but I still think, I've always said this about the Stranglers, love them to death. They seem to be one of these bands that when you take it all in together, whether it's the Hue era or everything that came after, it creates a little world, a little pile of texts. I'll get there eventually. So yeah, I almost look at them as a pile of instructive booklets or little aphorisms, just a feel, just a nation, a landscape, a dark forest, you know, a dark, you know, semi busted down, past its time, mid-size UK city kind of thing that you get with the Stranglers. I definitely feel a world there. I definitely feel a snow globe band there. But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny that our band of individuals episode, most of those bands were almost candidates for this. My honorable mentions. Okay, the one I kicked out for No Means No was Voivod, because I feel Voivod does the same thing. And with them, it's a little different. There's a twist in it. There's this ongoing sci-fi story of Voivod and the fear of nuclear war and, you know, outer space and these interesting contraptions, you know, biomechanical monsters / you know, machines that Michelle draws. There's the interesting Voivod font. There's the idea, you know, of the Voivod itself. It's pretty strange, you know, the fact that they're from Chicoutimi, Quebec. They're the fact that they're a complicated band that you can't categorize, or like progressive thrash sort of, right? So I think they create a world of their own, but it's almost even more of a literal world. It's like a science fiction novel world. And then Snake dovetails rather well with Michelle's lyrics. I mean, they both have this kind of cool English as second language way of just stabbing you with words and coming up with these interesting concepts, which are Philip K. Dick kind of like sci-fi philosophical throughout, even when they're not talking about anything directly Voivodian. And so, yeah, across all of those records, I think you do get this little snow globe world of purples and blacks in this case, rather than, you know, neon greens and blacks as you get with Typo Negative. So there you go. Yeah, like I say, King Crimson is one I thought of. Primordial, I can't get out of my head either. Primordial, when I play that stuff in the car driving around, I think, wow, this is a world unto itself as well. All right, I'm going to leave it at that because I've talked for a long time. I had my Facebook all open here. I was going to go through all these great examples that we have on the Facebook page about, you know, extra ones that I could have put in from last episode with title track weirdness, but I'm out of time because, you know, I'm told you don't want to go too much more than half an hour with one of these things. I always keep them about the same, and we're at that point now, so looks like I'm going to have to hold off the all the, and, you know, go to the Facebook and check it out because there's a lot of great ones that I missed, great examples of this episode that had a lot of examples and stuff in it. All right. If you like the show and want to support it, yeah, I've got the Ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff thing. You know, I do that instead of any Patreon or whatever. Hit that red support button, buy me a pint. On that front, this week, I'd like to thank Andy at Black Sugar Transmission. We just put up a really cool profile of Andy that we did with the Contrarians, and you can see that at History in Five Songs or my regular Facebook, or just go to YouTube for that. Andy Black Sugar, he's the, you know, he's guitarist for KMFDM, Blondie, really interesting story there. And Joe Becht at Bel Air Expediting, I'm actually going on his show shortly, I think. Joe, what is it, next week? Anyways, we're going to be talking about genre tags and are they a good idea or not a good idea. I also want to thank David Fisher, Sasha Kellerman, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari. Augustin is actually proofing my next little book. We started these panel books again, but I don't want to talk about the bands we're doing, but he's going to copy edit that for me kindly. Augustine, Steve Polari, Mark Priest, Brian Sager, and Steven Samchuk. You can go to my website for any of the books. The Dio book is new and still out there. That's the Killing the Dragon book. The other cool thing is I finally got in the little, you know, baseball card size cards, you know, picture on the front. These are these drawings I've been doing. But I've been making these card sets. So the first card set, still got a few of those left. That was 23 cards. And now the new set is 27 cards. I wanted to get to 50. So now if you get both, you got a card set of 50 cards. There's only 36 sets of those. You can email me or Facebook me for that. But yeah, that's it. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I would love to hear if anybody has any other examples of these snow globe bands. I think all of these are perfect. And like I say, I stumped my small but esteemed panel of helpers. Nobody knew what the heck I was talking about. I hope I explained myself rather well. But again, just to sum up, as succinctly as possible, if you listen to these bands and take in what they're saying in a big way and take them really seriously and spend some hours on them, your personality will change.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.